Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. How would you describe my dress today?
I don't think it's that different from what it normally is.
Can I describe how I woke up this morning in not so vivid detail?
Sure.
I won't be very vivid. It's a podcast. I'm allowed to talk about this on a podcast. I know I'm not allowed to talk about it on the air. So I woke up this morning. Liz and I would. So I had a lot of stuff to do for the Browns for today. And I had to get a lot of that done yesterday. And I mowed and all that other stuff. And right now I'm wearing like gray, green Duluth Trading Company pants and a green shirt. And the reason I'm wearing this is because I woke up this morning at about 3:30. Because listen to Liz last night, I was like, I'm just gonna get Taco Bell. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So she goes and gets the food. She comes back.
How much did you get? You want to take people through the order? I think everybody is fascinated to know what other people's
orders
are.
She got the 12 pack. For me, her, and Axel, because Axel was the only one still up.
Uh-huh.
And then I got two chicken quesadillas with extra sauce. It was good. It was really good. This morning, and I had, you know what? I probably had a couple of Busch Lights. So this morning at about 3:15, my alarm goes off. I hit the snooze. Everything's fine. I wake up at about 3:20, and I'm just sitting there. I'm going, I go to the bathroom at 3:30, and it is both ends. And
burning
I'm
the candles at both ends.
I'm holding on for dear life. And Liz is in the bedroom. You can hear Liz in the bedroom going, "Do you need anything?" And I'm going, "Oh God!" And I mean, I'm sweating, and I'm going, "Oh my God!" It's and by the time I look down at my phone, it's 4:30.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm going. I might have to call Owen and tell him I got to do the show from the house. Like this is rough. And I went, well, let's give it 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes, I started feeling better. I go downstairs. I took some Imodium. Came back upstairs. Go, all right, just take a shower and let's get going with this. So I took a shower, and I just was like, I'm gonna throw on the easiest stuff I can. I got my old Cyclones hoodie. I got my boots, and I got my Duluth Trading Company pants, and I got my Duluth Trading Company shirt, and I look, what do I look like right now? How would you describe how I look? If you saw me on the street, well, that's not Ken Carmen who's on 92.3 The Fan. What does that guy
do? No, it's very fall-esque. It looks like you have some work to do of some sort.
Yeah, like I look like I'm about to perform work.
Yeah, like you have a project that you have to get down to the bottom of, but you have to stop at Lowe's or Home Depot first before you get there, and you might need a lunch pail.
This is what I wear to mow and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't like to mow in shorts because I like to weed whack. Obviously.
Boy, I am fascinated by, now that I'm back into mowing for the first time in like 20 years, 20 plus years, I'm fascinated to see what the neighbors wear when they mow. Everybody has a different tact that they take.
I don't like tennis shoes. I don't do the tennis shoes.
So I'm wearing
some support.
I'm wearing tennis shoes, and when the weather's nice, I'm wearing gym shorts, and I'm wearing a cutoff.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm getting some sun. And the neighbors were older. They are dressed like, you know how 1950s sports fans dressed in suits?
Yeah.
they're doing the equivalent for outdoor work.
Yeah, sweaters.
They're dressed up like they're clocking in, have a job to do, but still comfortable. Range of motion is intact for what they're wearing. And I wonder if it's a professionalism thing. Like, they're looking at me going, ugh, we're allowing him in our neighborhood dressed like that.
Mm.
Dressed like that in his gym clothes.
Yeah.
Like, what if people spot him? Like, you know how some people have a decorum for how they want to go out? Now, I'm very specific on this. When I go out and run errands now, I think it's now that I turned 40, but I've been doing this for a few years. I don't look like a slob.
No, you don't.
I look presentable. I will wear something that, in case I run into somebody, I don't look like a bum off the streets.
You don't.
Now, does anybody care? No.
No.
Nobody cares. We were talking to our market manager, Tom, the other day. And
you had a problem with this.
I don't know if it's a problem. I think it's still jarring to me that when I go down to street level and I see people walking in their hustle and a bustle to get to work.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to work because I can tell by what they're holding. But I can't tell they're going to work based on what they're dressed like.
Ah.
Because there is a dumbing down. I'm surprised this isn't a rant by Bill O'Reilly and instead it's Anthony Lima. There's a dumbing down of dress codes in this culture.
Anthony O'Lima.
To work. There is. People are not dressing up to go to work anymore.
Meaning, it's amazing you're talking about workplace things with Bill O'Reilly, but that's a different podcast.
That's true. That's true. I'm a subscriber now.
Wow.
the O'Reilly factor.
Did you pay $32 million too? Or no?
Well, someone's got to pay for a settlement.
Well, that's what the settlement was.
So – I'm not saying I have a problem with the fact that just society's not dressing up, but I have said before, I think it would be cool if we had a couple restaurants in this town where it's a night out. It's a throwback evening where I'm not saying ball gown and, you know, tuxedo.
No, I think it should be that.
But a dress up. Like, hey, we're going to a nice place and we're dressing up. I'm not asking for every place to be like that because let's be honest. We all like being comfortable. We like being casual. But I think something's been lost in translation
really?
Here over time. Yes. I sound like I'm a very old curmudgeon. I get that.
I think the times are a changing.
They are. Oh, they have.
So, I don't know. I might want to complain too, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I say I like to be comfortable, but at the same time, I don't want to look slovenly. And I think it's easier for a obese person such as myself to look slovenly. So I get very worried about that type of thing. That's why I don't like wearing just the shirt. I hate that they insist on me just wearing the shirt on TV.
Right.
I hate it. I want to wear a jacket.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy for a fat pig such as myself to look slovenly, and I don't like doing it. Now, I could just lose some weight, but, you know, that's you can wish in one hand and you know what in the other.
But, like, the guys that work in Wall Street, the men and women that work in Wall Street, it's suits, it's pantsuits. And it is
power
still,
suits, brother.
Has not changed. That form and fashion has not changed over time. But the amount of sneakers, Lululemon pants, congratulations on all your success. And,
well,
I mean, they're more expensive than some of the dress clothes.
There are more people. I know people talk about the obesity epidemic here. I think there's more people in shape than there's ever been.
Okay, I have a theory about that.
And I think those people want to show that off.
I have a theory about that, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's
Lululemon could help you show it off.
All those types of workout clothiers, so to speak, Kenny, have really blossomed because of that. Yes, there is a fit culture. The only difference is, though, I do think, and I don't want to get this will sound either classist or I know we have a war on everything in this country, on where you live, if you live in the suburbs or you live in an urban area, and you know, people live in the cities can't believe anybody would live in the sticks. People in the sticks can't believe anybody would live in the cities, and you have shared values and core beliefs. And so we're always at odds. So I realize I could be stepping on toes here. I do think what you're seeing when you go to work, you're seeing people downtown. I think people that work in the city, it is a different tempo. It's a different – you and I both know, not necessarily more money, because we know people work in the country, have their pickups, dress like hillbillies, and make way more money than some of the people that work in the cities. Mm-hmm. So it's not about money, but there is a different culture with people. I think in most cities, most metropolitan areas that work in the city, live in the city.
I agree.
It's a totally different dynamic. It just is.
I agree.
And I'm not saying for better or worse. It's just different. It's just very different.
No, I agree.
And so people out here that we see, yeah, when I'm watching people walk around downtown Cleveland to their jobs that they actually have to show up to every day, they're in shape. They're absolutely in shape, and there is more of a fundamental routine that probably involves working out, yoga, Rise Nation, any of those classes that you can take.
My routine's been really thrown off here over the last couple of months.
I believe a lot of people are.
I've really struggled to get back into a routine of every day, and I don't know why. I've really struggled with that, and it's kind of puts me in a bad mood because I want to be in a routine. Like, I don't want to be in such a routine where it affects the show because I think that can be a bad thing. But there is a feeling of with everything with, you know, the boys are back in school. And there's also more school things now. Like, I'm just getting into Axel has extracurricular activities now. And so there is a tug and a pull of my time not being
I don't know how you make time.
Looked at Liz, like, exasperated before. And I'm like, there's just simply not enough hours in the day.
And I'll tell you, not enough. Your hours. So, like, my girlfriend, she looks at me and says, you have all the time in the world, which I have way more time than you because I don't have those responsibilities. But I have to add that if we had normal 9-to-5 jobs, so your time, you only had, like, your kids, and when they have to be at things or when you have to be at things, let's say you didn't have this radio show, and you had a 9-to-5 job, and then you have your responsibilities, making sure to get kids to here and there and all those things.
Yeah.
You would just simply get up and work out earlier. You would. That's what a lot of people do. They just get up early and go to work out. But because you are working, you're not going to get up and work out at 3 in the morning. That's just never going to happen.
I need some Keith.
My old roommate, Tony, he would get up like a psychopath at 2 o'clock.
Alana will next door.
And go work out.
But Alana will next door.
I will never do that.
She will get in here.
Will not be part of my
swear
routine.
To Christ, 3 a.m., work out, downstairs, come up here and go
can't
to work.
Can't do it. I can't do it because then it involves going to sleep way too early, and we have sports to watch. Can't do it.
That's true. But I got to watch the games.
But on the other hand, because – like,
damn, I didn't even think about that.
Because you can't get up and work out first thing in the morning, it's an impossibility. You've started your day. You've started eating.
Yeah.
It is much harder to work out on a full stomach. You need to, like, wait, pace yourself throughout the day.
You got to go on the Anthony Lima eating plan, I've made fun of you before, but it's true.
Well, and it's
you don't eat a lot.
It is really, it's really tough. And now you start making plans for different things that you have throughout the day, and your routines have to be hit, and maybe you have to watch this press conference or whatever. So because you can't work out before work, sometimes could take working out out of the equation.
Well, like years before, so we've been partners with the Browns for a while, and I've done things with the Browns for a while as well. I could get into a fall routine. Now, like last year, remember, there was I just stayed at home.
Stay at home.
And so we did
so
the show.
Different.
Well, you and I started rotating in studio.
That's an hour a day,
last
though,
year.
Think about it.
That's true. You and I started rotating, and then, like, the shows were just at home. You never went to the stadium. Now I got to go to the stadium. Now I got to go in person to do the interviews again. Before, we just did them on Zoom.
Yep.
There was a lot of different things that I had to do. I didn't have to do. Now I have to do that again, and especially with the Axel's extracurriculars, like, you're right, because my dad used to work usually, he used to work 1 to 10, but he used to work usually 6 to 3 or 6:30 to 3:30. And so he'd be done, and then that, you know, work was work. He didn't need paperwork at home. He didn't do that stuff. And so there was a little bit more time, I guess, he could dedicate. Plus, I was his only son. So it was his only kid. So there was maybe a little bit of a difference then. Like, there are times I'm like, geez, where did the day go? And like that's part of the way people go, you don't take naps. I go, no. And some of it's like because I'm constantly, especially this time of year, I'm planning for something else. And 30 minutes, you'd think 30 minutes doesn't count. 30 minutes counts. 30 minutes absolutely counts. An hour counts. And that sucks. That part sucks. Because then you feel a little bit overwhelmed because then you're going, well, you just don't have enough time that even 30 minutes affects you. That's difficult. You need to change your plans. And so you start to feel guilty and somewhat ashamed. But either way, it's just that part sucks. This has been a difficult fall. because it's been a struggle to be able to plan things, to have ritual, to have plan, to have routine, and to be able to do that stuff. So it's because now I'm like I'm trying to like even like carrying of the house, I'm hitting a moving target. Like my utility room, I need to get that organized and cleared out before the winter. I had to take out a couple of things in the basement because the basement, you know, that's the boys' playroom. They ruined the TV down there, so I had to get that out of there. Had to clean out the pond again the other day, which I have to clean out that filter. Which, guy, I tell you what, the part of that selling thing was this stupid-ass decorative pond. Mm-hmm. If you go to a house and that's there, get the hell out of there. Or tell them you'll buy the house if they fill it up. Don't buy the damn thing. Because it is the biggest pain in the freaking ass you're ever going to deal with in your life. I just want to go on some crazy ranting, cuss-filled rant on all of it. And I can't right now. But it is awful. I have my arm all the way like up to my sleeve in water. I'm dealing with the goldfish.
I want to see what I'm dealing with here. Do you have a picture of the pond?
It's around somewhere, I'm sure. I'm sure I got a picture of the damn thing. We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTNDAV.com. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fill it in one day, and then after I fill it in, I'm going to put an outdoor viewing thing there, and that's what it's going
to
be.
How long does it take you to cut your grass?
To do it?
No. And you're in a hurry. You got to get it done. How long?
Less than an hour.
Oh, okay.
But my mower, this is why I have to fix. I'm fixing a couple of things here because my mower deck, I think, is askew. So I gotta fix my mower deck because it's
cattywampus.
Yeah, and then in the spring, I meant to take it out in the fall, but I can't do it in the fall. I have no time.
No time.
I got in my yard, there used to be these bushes, and the first thing that we did when I moved in was get rid of them. Pulled them out with my Ram 1500. And then because I got a great big chain that I wrap around the base and I pull it out and it takes no effort whatsoever. I'm on little bushes. I'm not pulling out trees for crying out loud. But I got rid of those and then I planted over and it left some humps, and so it skins. So now I have to get a tiller out.
Yeah.
Till up the humps, tamp down, replant grass.
And you gotta reseed.
That's gotta wait until the spring. Plus on the side of my house, I'm tired of having my trash cans in my garage. So I'm going to put them on the side of my house, so I have to put a platform out on the side of my house, and it's...
And protect them.
I don't got enough time.
It is amazing to me as I'm getting older, and just every day is just a little more responsibility. Because remember, my whole goal in life was to have zero responsibility. Mm-hmm. As a single guy, to answer to nobody, I've tried to explain this to my girlfriend.
Nice.
It's not an easy explanation. They
I was
don't
jealous
hear
of you a few times.
I could do whatever I wanted. If somebody... What happened to be in town or happened to be in Tremont? Hey, what are you doing? Be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's gone. That is all done now. Now everything needs planning because I have somebody else. There's somebody else that occupies my time and has expectations of when I'm going to be available and what we're doing for dinner. I mean, we line up dinner at the beginning of the week for the week of how we're going to do it and what nights we're going to go out or what nights we're going to cook. And now that's in my schedule. Do you know I never kept a schedule?
No.
In my entire life, I have never kept a schedule.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Would if I had to go work or had these other opportunities, it was all in the head. Now I'm sitting there and it's jarring to me. But what is most amazing to me, Kenny, is that I have some mail documents I have to open up. I know where they're from. I got one from the IRS. I know what it is. I know exactly what I need to do. Mm. I have another one from the DMV. I have another one, and these are things that are sitting there, and Sarah goes, what are you going to do with these? Why haven't you opened these? Because her attitude is open immediately every time and start addressing what needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm sure I'll get to that tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and there's not a moment of the day where that is more appealing than the alternative, which could be me getting a run-in, me watching Squid Game. Or something on Netflix.
God, you guys or, in that squid
or a Cavs game. You'd think it's easy. Just open up the mail. Anthony, open up the mail and start paying the bill. Or start writing the letter. Start explaining to the IRS where the $100,000 are of laundered money. All these things, enter your mind. And at no point do I actually want to sit down and address that. And at no point is the alternative not going to be better and more desirable. So, help me through this. What do I do?
You just got to do it.
You just got to do it.
There's,
I know.
As a, I've said this before, and I think it's a little bit much to tell the kids on the flag football team. There are times where they're six. They simply don't want to play flag football. And they'll look you dead in the eye, and I don't want to be here. And I'll get right down there, and I go.
You give them the Joan Crawford speech?
I'd look right at my son, or I look right at any of the other kids because they've all done it. Mm. There's not a single kid there who hasn't done it. And it's on our team, and it's on every other team. And I look them dead in the eye, and I go, someday you're going to be my age, and your life is filled of things you don't want to do. And there will be little snippets of things you get to do. See, this is what changes from when you're a kid that I didn't understand until it hammered me in my freaking face as an adult, is that as a child, with the exception of school, your life is everything you want to do, filled with things you have to do. And as an adult, it's completely reversed. Your life is filled with things you have to do, with little things of what you want to do. Which makes you love those little things you want to do even more because there's only so much time you get to do it. So that you have to answer to. So this is something that's fun that you're playing football with, that none of this matters. You guys don't even know the score. You don't care about it. You have to enjoy this as much as you can because there's going to be a life full of obligation. Mm-hmm. And so I get to say the same thing to you now as a 40-year-old man, is that you've had your fun. And whether you like it or not, subconsciously you want it. You've talked about children and marriage. So subconsciously you do want this, is that your life will be full of obligation. And you will have to separate hobby from obligation. The best thing for you is, though, you don't have many hobbies. You don't play many video games. You like television, but you can take it or leave it. You're a social person. Which is fine because I think that once you have kids, you and folks, he wants kids. I'm not insisting kids upon him. He said he wants kids. Sarah wants children. Eventually it'll happen. So if they want kids, you'll just go to social function with the kids. And because you're more of a people person than you let on, your observations will happen there. You will watch and that will be part of your hobby. I think you'll do very well with children in the future with social aspects because – you don't have any of these little personal hobbies that just make you. Like there's guys who, they're big video game players and then kids and they struggle with wanting to play video games and kids and all that stuff and then getting their kids involved in video games. They're fantasy football players, they do that. They work on cars, they do that. Like there's, especially cars are one of the most time consuming things you'll ever deal with.
Yeah.
Is cars. I mean, there are guys who, especially like some of the local stock car drivers, they get home from work and they will work until they'll forget to sleep. It is a time-consuming thing. If you have kids, that totally changes. That's why so many of them get their kids involved, so it gives them an excuse to tinker and work on cars. So you don't have that problem. You'll be okay. I think you'll be just fine with that. So I don't think the life of obligation will hurt you more than you think. Or I don't think it will hurt you as much as you think.
It's just when you're selfish for as long as I've been, it's hard. It's really hard.
I never told
cross
you to,
the Rubicon.
But I will tell you, though, I've never told you to not be selfish. I never told you to not be selfish. The thing about your life is you're not selfish to the terms of you're a giving person when it comes to charity. You can help a person in need. I've seen you do it. I've seen you help your friends in need. You're not selfish like that. You are good selfish. What I think of you in terms of good selfish is that I've never seen you actually date anybody other than Sarah. And there's a good thing to this, folks, is that some people say, well, that's terrible. It's not, because there's no preconceived BS with any of the other things where you've strung along somebody throughout their life and then you've reached the point where, I'm done. That's selfish.
Boy, I've seen that a lot.
Exactly. Where they just were.
That
were,
neediness was,
yes,
was completed. Yeah. And then outside of that, it was,
yes,
a false.
There's dating, and then there's really cruelty. Lima dated. Lima's not cruel. Now, I'm sure some of the women that he's been with in his past.
They might have other things to say. Or they had different expectations.
Disagree.
Yeah.
But I look at it totally different. I think those people had those expectations. Maybe Lima didn't necessarily say, don't have those expectations, but they might have had those expectations and didn't manifest those to Anthony. But I've never seen him really do any of that stuff. So I don't think you're selfish to the point of you don't think about other people. You don't think, no, I thought it was always a good selfish where you're not going to put yourself in a relationship you didn't want to be in. You were not gonna bind yourself to the family status that you didn't want to bind yourself to. You were gonna do it when you were ready. If you were ready at 35, you were ready at 35. If you're ready at 40, you're ready at 40. I didn't think any of those things for you. I think a lot of people put their own problems and they sub them in for you and go, well, he's selfish. No, he doesn't want kids. At that time, you didn't want kids. That's not selfish. Having kids when you really don't want them, or having kids to save a relationship, or just having kids because everybody else wants you to have kids, that's selfish. Having kids because you want something that's just yours, or you want to use it against somebody else, that's selfish. I've seen selfish. Anthony is not – you are not classically selfish. You are selfish, but you're not to the point – selfishness to me is where you only care about yourself and you let other people be hurt by that. I have not seen that with you. So I think that that's different. Extend Technologies, XTNDAV.com. Do we have anything else do we need
yes,
to say
I want to
before
ask
we
something.
Move on? Okay, go ahead.
How are you watching the game tonight? We didn't talk about this much on the air.
Going to my office.
Okay, so.
I'll be home. I should be home right before kickoff.
Now,
and I'm
you
go
could.
To my office and watch it.
You could theoretically, or maybe you can't because of the kids. You could have theoretically stayed at the game tonight and watched.
Yeah, but I.
I've been to two home games so far this year. How many have they played? Have they played three?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been to two of the games so far.
Yeah, they've played three.
And it's been great being back in venues. I mean, I not able to go to an Indians game. I haven't been to an Indians game in a long time now. I did go to one, then we went to the Cubs game. And then I went to a couple Cavs games last year. That was a disaster. And that wasn't the Cavs' fault. That was protocols and all that. We don't have to get into it. It was depressing. But it is awesome being back at the Browns games, and that's why I thought it was a little unfortunate to see the reaction of so many Browns fans say they were looking so forward to this game. They bought this game because it was prime time. And then now they're like, eh. Yeah. And I think that stinks. And I don't know if it's our job to try to get you out of that mode. But tonight has the opportunity to be a special night. It
yeah,
really
definitely.
Does. And I hope people aren't going down there already with their minds made up, their preconceived notions about how this could be a disappointment and how this season could be going down south and how the future of Baker Mayfield could now be in. I think you can't fill your head up of all those things, because then it's just going to be depressing.
Yeah.
Plus, like I said, it could be a special night. They could go out and win, and they're supposed to win. I mean, they're still the favorites in Vegas. So they go out there, they win, you're 4-3, you have the most time off you've had in a while to get healthy, and then you're going to be facing Pittsburgh, and of course, you know, they're going to be favored against Pittsburgh. They will.
If they have Baker back and all that. Yeah, if they have Nick Chubb back. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It sucks with the injuries. It does. And there's a couple things I did want to say. You do think about long-term stuff. One is that, yes, if this continues to go down this path, like James Palmer was with us earlier today from NFL Network, and he said this is one where he said it's not as much about must win as it is must be healthy. Okay, that's a fair way to look at things because you're playing for the grand scheme of things. So I get that. I understand what James is saying. It's been almost blamed on me, or I could blame it on myself, where I can't help it, like I did think of the 2020 49ers, where it was just an injury every game that was just crippling to that football team. That's difficult to deal with. I say that. I said it once at the end of the show 2 days ago. I said it once in the middle of the show yesterday. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you're at fault for what you say. The other thing is, I thought about this, and I don't want to say it out loud. I'll say it on the podcast. I'm not going to say it on the show just yet. Is that, yes, you have to think about what if this continues.
Mm-hmm.
What if they continue to lose players and lose games? There's a much worse question I have to bring up. And I'm not going to do it yet. I'm going to do it on the podcast right now. Because this has to be fleshed out here before I bring it to the actual air. It will make me wonder, what if they would have hired Kevin Stefanski instead of Freddie Kitchens in 2019? Because if you would have had Kevin Stefanski, my thought is obviously your results would have been much better than 6-10. Would it have put more pressure on you to enhance that defense going into last season than this season? Because you had Kevin Stefanski and it was like, all right, we don't know what we have in Baker. We've seen him play really well. We've seen him play like garbage. We got this new coach. We'll see. We got this. We got players that we know we think are good. Defensively, we're really lacking. And then last year, I do think a lot of people are going like, man, if we would have just invested more in that defense. Third and 14, man. Chad Henne couldn't get Chad Henne off the field on third and 14. And so you think if they would have done better in 2019, if they would have been the playoff team that they were supposed to be in 2019, would they invested more and went all in 2020 and then kept that window open? Because as we're seeing, you can't guarantee next year. Part of what I get so frustrated about the 20-year struggle, is that we bought in, myself included, these stupid, let me underline, stupid five-year plans. You don't have 5 years in this league. You have no idea what's going to happen. And I bought it. Oh, he's got a five-year plan. Mike Holmgren has a five-year plan. 5 years in the NFL? 5 years? Who gets 5 years to do anything
anymore? You might have three head coaches or three GMs in 5 years.
Yes. And I was one of the people. Oh, he's got a five-year plan, guys. Don't worry about it. Mike Holmgren, he's won Super Bowls. He's been to another Super Bowl. Don't worry about it. He's got a five-year plan. It's like, man, this is the dumbest effing thing I've said in quite a while. And I just believed it because I wanted the Browns to do well. You just don't have that time. And now I think of myself, okay, I was 26, 27 when that was going on. 25, 26, 27. I'm 35 now. Part of me does think when you're 45 or 40, talking to myself, and we are in year X of Baker, Chubb's gone, the offensive line you have now is gone, all this stuff is gone, and we're putting this together, am I going to sit there in an offseason and go, don't you guys remember 2021? Don't you guys remember what that season was like? Don't you go back and look at that. You have to go for it now. Like that type of thing. I do think that far ahead, which is sick, but I do think that far ahead. And I don't want to think that way. That's why it's like, hey, go on and win the damn game. Because if you win the damn game, you're 4-3.
You can change
everything. I don't have to consider any of that stuff. But it is, I'm telling you right now, if things go poorly, anybody listening to this podcast knows that one day I'm going to say it on the show, and I don't want to say it on the show, like, I have to go back and go, what if they would have hired Kevin Stefanski instead of Freddie Kitchens in 2019?
Well, you're talking about, you just said 21, don't you remember 2021? God, I think back at last year, and every day that goes by, and I think about how, and I know it has a lot to do with health, you can't even guarantee an offensive line can be good 2 years
Man,
in a row
right about
in
that.
This league. You can't. The only thing you can is if you have an elite quarterback, you can almost guarantee that you should
even then, with
have
Kansas
pretty good
City.
Teams. I know. I agree. And hell, Deshaun Watson was supposedly a elite quarterback last year. They won four games or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think back to last year because I know this is a loser's lament. Didn't it feel like last year? I don't know if the Browns. I would not have picked them to win the Super Bowl or anything.
Yeah.
But I think they would have gone if they won that Kansas City game last year. And I keep thinking back, like, is there a universe where last year was the year that the Browns were supposed to have that Philadelphia Eagles season? Was it supposed to be last year where no one's picking you, and then, boom, you beat your longtime rival, you go toe-to-toe, you knock Patrick Mahomes out of the game, you beat Chad Henne, now you play, would it have been Buffalo in the AFC Championship game? Kenny, right? It had to be Buffalo?
Yeah.
And if you beat Buffalo, you're going to the Super Bowl, and who knows? Throw everything out the window if you go to the Super Bowl and have 2 weeks to prepare, even if it's for Tom Brady and Tampa Bay. No, you probably wouldn't have won, and nobody would have picked you to win. But you never know. Nobody would have picked Carson Wentz. And who was their head coach? I already forgot. Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson.
With a D.
Would anybody have picked – well, yeah, it's Doug. Would anybody have picked them to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? No. She just never – no, and I hope we're not thinking about that 5 years from now where, damn it, they were supposed to beat Chad Henne. They were. They were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. They were supposed to go to the Super Bowl the first time in franchise history.
Them's the breaks. I don't want to go like that.
It's just never easy. I hope this does teach fans a lesson. They should know. They're Cleveland fans. But you're always going to have hope. Every season you have new hope. I think the Detroit Lions had hope going into the year. You just do. You always convince yourself that there's some sort of hope.
Ian Rappaport, by the way,
what do we got?
The podcast says Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield is expected need surgery on his torn labrum following the season. Sources say the result of the hits he's taken on his non-throwing shoulder. The belief is he can deal with it through the season, but incurring more damage would make it a challenge. Yeah,
it is going to be a challenge. It is. So that just came down, huh?
Well, we kind of talked about that today, though.
Absolutely,
did we not?
We did. So he's going to be dealing with this all year, and we just have to hope he doesn't take the hits. So, I mean, are you changing your offense when he comes back?
Maybe.
Getting rid of the ball as quick as humanly possible. And they're already trying to do that a lot.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. We'll see. It is interesting. Can I share something here before we get moving
sure.
on to the end of the day? One of the things, I want to put this on the podcast here, because I did tease it, so I figure we have to say it, is that we do not hope. Like, I think every now and then, I do know that there's such a thing as trolls on social media and things like that. I do think people hear what they want to hear. There is no excitement if the Browns lose. At least, I speak for this show and an official show stance. I can't bring up ratings, and I can't bring up numbers even here because it's against the law to do so, or against the regulations of the Federal Communications Commission to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I could, because I would like to show you just how bad things might have been when allegedly when the Browns were 0-16 and 1-15, how bad those things were for us at that time as compared to where they are now. I think that one of the things that we're sneaking into is some people, you guys like the drama. I do not like the drama. I know that you'll listen to the Browns and Browns stuff no matter what. Now, there are things that, yes, there are juicy stories that we can get into that, yes, are dramatically filled. But I don't like the connotation, and part of it is maybe from, and I hate to say this, from our predecessors in radio here in the city, possibly from different generations. Maybe they felt that way. I can't speak for those people. But I know that Lyman and I do not like if the Browns lose. And I think anybody who actually does listen to the show knows that we do not like when the Browns lose. Now, we kind of laugh if people say this is because of you guys for doing that stupid Super Bowl, Super Browns chant if they lose. I always think that that's kind of funny because the players don't care and we do not have that much power over them. But the thought of them losing and liking when they lose, I'd have to tell you, like, we've taken a lot of calls over the last 6 weeks, and as many listeners will highlight, there have been a lot of calls out of there that have been good, but there's been a lot of calls that have been downright stupid. And so if you're just going to take calls, and that's what you're there to do is to just take calls, I think it's going to make you look bad as a host, and I think it's going to make you look dumber as a host to do so. I'm more than willing to take calls. I'm even more than willing to take bad calls, but I want them to be good calls, and there are times where we've had calls where we've ignored them just because we know that they're bad calls. Case in point, last week when I started yelling at everybody saying we're not going to take these stupid bleeping calls, you got to do better with these calls or I'm not going to take any of these things. So I don't like the thought of it's better when the Browns lose or it's better when that's ugly. I think that people get tired of different head coaches. I think they get tired of different general managers and different quarterbacks for a long time, and that's something that I don't miss whatsoever, and that's why I will still, and people think I'm stupid for saying this, but I think it's true, you are much more emotionally invested in a team like this than you were 0-16, so when you were to move on from Hugh Jackson or you're to move on from Sashi Brown or anything, it simply didn't matter. This, if things were to go apart and go awry and you had to move on from these things, this sucks way worse because you actually had a look at decency, actually had a look at competition and what it was like to be one of the better teams in the NFL. That sucks way worse than any of that. That's why I would never wish any of that upon anybody here in the city. I would wish it upon Pittsburgh. I would wish it upon Baltimore, obviously, but I don't want to wish it upon anybody here. Go ahead.
No, I totally agree. And there is, that's why I want to avoid this. I used the term morose earlier today, this feeling right now in the city. And what I love about this game tonight is it can change. It can change that fast. A win tonight immediately changes that. The Baker news is something we're going to be following, obviously, very closely. It's going to be a factor the rest of the year. I think we understand that. And maybe that limits the ceiling for this team. I don't know, but I'm not prepared to say that right now because I don't know. I don't know how unhealthy he is. And, you know, it'd be nice to just have Jarvis, Odell, Baker, and either Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt or both. It'd be nice,
yeah.
You know, in one game this year to have that. And hopefully we'll get that opportunity. But this is a huge game tonight. And I hope that place gets loud. I hope they cause problems for the Denver Bronco offense, the fans in attendance, because just going into tonight acting like it's you're on a way to an execution or something,
ain't
I mean,
good.
that stinks. That's not fun.
My neighbor, my old neighbor, Crazy Carl, told me about the time he witnessed an execution, a public hanging in the state of Georgia.
When did they do those?
Some guy robbed a bank, and they used to do public hangings right out there. Boom.
Oh,
killed
okay.
somebody, and they go, you want to do a public hanging? You want to come to the public hanging? They go, yep. And so, should I tell this story?
Boy, I think that would be life-changing to the point where even if you were big on that, you were gung-ho, and you're like, yeah, I want to see this, or that guy deserves to die for what he did. I think on paper is very different from in actuality. I think that'll change you. I think it'll change your life.
Oh, he's part of the greatest generation. And what people wouldn't tell you about the greatest generation, well, they would tell you now, but they didn't realize then. They had zero, like you think people don't have filters now. They had zero filter because they had seen some stuff and they had to do some stuff. So he did not care about anything he told to us. He just did that because to him, well, they'll just be in war someday. So this is something that they'll have to do. Like his son was in Vietnam. He was in World War II. Like it was that type of thing. So he just assumed we would be in warfare someday and we're going to have to see these atrocities.
Yeah, imagine that.
So he would tell us stories because he was in the Pacific Theater and he had some war trophies and things like that. And we affectionately called him Crazy Carl. And Crazy Carl was the guy who had me go out there and have to kill a groundhog, which was – I can't tell that story because people might get upset about that. But the public hanging, he said that the man was very heavy.
Oh.
And they buried him in two pieces after they hung him.
Oh, my God.
They didn't take into account the length of the fall, the G-force of the fall, considering the weight. Like, Isaac Newton must have had a field day that day because it was down and instead of the neck breaking – it just came apart.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that happens like that.
That's how it happened. That's how he said it happened anyway.
What a great way to end the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to bring up Ohio's new license plates. You see those?
Okay. Let me zoom in because I can only see it from afar.
Well, here.
Okay.
It's like sunshine in the background.
What do we got here?
We got a rising sun and
corn. Wait, we got
corn? Yeah.
We've got corn.
There's a kid on a tree swing in there, I guess.
Okay.
I didn't see him.
Okay, we've got a body of water. We've got to commemorate, what, Orville Wright?
Is that what it is?
We've got the aviation thing.
I kind of want to let North Carolina take that. Go ahead.
And then we have some metropolitan. So this is essentially to encapsulate all that Ohio is. We have rural. We
should have a football in there.
Metropolitan. Man, doesn't it seem... are we going too far saying there should be a
look
football
at the orange
there?
Part of the sun? It kind of looks like a football.
So Owen just said the orange part of the sun kind of looks like. I hope
the big yellow one is the sun.
The yellow one is the sun.
Okay, well, I mean, the whole point of these things is to kill it after it comes out. So we'll do 4 hours on that tomorrow.
New license plates?
Anything. Any logos?
Oh, there's the kid with the dog. Okay.
Yep.
And then here is. Is that our skyline? Whose skyline is that?
I think it's an amalgam of all the skylines.
That's what the terminal tower looks like to them?
That
doesn't look like a terminal tower.
I don't know because they had to toe the line between Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, Toledo, Youngstown. And, of course, Chagrin Falls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.